Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, here joining us for VFN Radio's Extra Hour. Joining me in the studios is Pat Hamilton.
Good morning.
And John Ramos will be joining us a little bit later on today. We'll give you a shout out and be encouraged that God is speaking to his people. He's directing us and leading us. He's faithful. God is faithful. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly more than you could ever ask or imagine. His wisdom fills the temple. He's got your back. Good morning, good morning, good morning. You are listening to VFN Radio Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me in the studios is Pat Hamilton and John Ramos. We are going right into the Extra Hour. We had a wonderful conversation beginning with, you know, it ain't over till it's over. It's not over till it's over. I mean, think about it. It's so important. It's not over till God says it's over. And with that, I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you that you got to hear. If you missed the first hour, that you got to get it. I was a little distracted for a moment there, but I'm back, and it's encouraging. It's encouraging to know that when your back is against the wall, look up because your deliverance is near. Your deliverance is near, and with that, that's the first hour. And the second part, you know, we're talking about the moment of wisdom. We gotta really understand what's being said to us in this nation, that when those who don't even profess to know Jesus Christ have more loyalty to the very things that God would say than the people who proclaim to know God and follow through Jesus Christ, then we got to check ourselves. You know, being rebuked. Mm-hmm. You know, God will use the world to rebuke the church, discipline the church. Mm-hmm. And, you know, God's perspective of healthcare and the poor and the needy that we talked about in the first hour, and you gotta catch it. But how America, let me find this particular number here. You gotta hear this. This is amazing. Totally amazing. That per capita that Americans, the United States, we get paid 365% higher than the world's average per capita income. We get paid 365% higher. Mm-hmm. Think about it. That's huge.
Right.
That's like you get paid $1 an hour,
right,
and I get paid $360 an hour, and I go, "What's your problem?"
Wow.
I don't know, 359 issues I have right here. You know, I got 359 issues. What's the problem? This is a capitalistic government. And it's like, you know, okay, well, cool. Okay, I understand that. But what is God? I mean, Jesus was on earth during a monarchy. You know, a king was ruling, and, you know, and all kinds of things were going on.
Right.
And he wasn't concerned about that because, you know, no matter what form of government there was, that God was in control and he directed their heart like a water course.
Mm-hmm.
You got to hear that. You got to hear the second part of the first hour. We got to get the right perspective of what, you know, God is saying and doing. But so, John, talk to us, man. Talk to us. What's going on up there?
Oh, my goodness. Well, I'm excited taking all of this in about, wow, you know, we are a blessed nation. And this is so good because we have to remember how blessed we are. It's amazing that you can see so many people that are going through rough situations, but if we become so self-focused and so focused on our own life or on what's going on with our own walls and our own family and our own job, we can begin to forget that there's a whole group of people out there, there's nations out there.
56% of the world's population.
That are suffering. You know, I don't even want to use that word in my life ever, that I suffer. You know, when you think about all the people out there that have gone through so many things, and it just gives us a proper perspective when we think about, wow, I've got to help my fellow man. I've got to help that person on the side. Don't be so quick to judge, because you never know. You may be on that same corner one day.
Oh, really soon, by the way. Really soon. I think about, you know, somebody goes, well, what is my $25 gift going to do? Give them 25 days worth of income. That's what it would do. If their equivalent to 28% of the world's population is living on a dollar or less a day, and you say, you know, there's a minister, somebody there is a missionary that's working with those people group, and you go, what is my $25 going to do? Listen, it's going to give them 25 days of income for one family. Think about
it. That's right.
You know, wealthy people cannot grasp, you know, what their wealth can do until you get into the world, and you got to travel some, you got to see what's going on. I mean, you could travel sitting where you are today with so much technology. You know, you can study things that are happening. But 360% more, you know, it's not this thing about, you know, Americans go, I'm suffering, my subsidized housing's a little tight, the government's buying for me, and then the money they're giving me for food is just kind of, it's really, you know, just they're forcing me to get nutritions and stuff. And
can't get steak with that.
I only got the basic cable package, you know, I can't get the bigger channels out there. It's just suffering. The oppressed of America. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's
exactly.
Like, I'm serious.
Exactly.
I'm serious.
Yeah.
You know, and we're talking about, we got to check ourselves in regards to, you know, what are we doing in the world in general? Because the church is across the world. And and we got to quit hanging on to just one form of economy and hang on to God's economy. And if we if only, you know, if 97% of the church is not even hanging on to God's economy, according to George Barna, they're hanging on the world's economy.
Mm.
And you can't serve God and money. You can't do it.
Can't do it.
Well, we want to talk about, did y'all hear about in Kansas that there was a bomb. They did a bomb threat.
Mm. Oh, wow. Where?
Wow.
All over. All over Kansas. Somebody had called in all these bomb threats.
Oh, my goodness.
To Walmarts. And they connected to one particular payphone, somebody that was going on up there. It was in Missouri. And they're investigating these strings of bomb threats that were triggered, evacuations from all these Walmarts that were going on. 11 Midwest Walmart locations evacuated because of these calls.
Oh, wow.
And what's important for us, because we're always talking about what's God's perspective or seeking God's perspective of this, don't separate all these things as if, well, you know, that's not Al-Qaeda. How could that be Al-Qaeda?
Right.
You know, how could that be? That's not, you know, the whatever. And it's like, you understand, it's all tied to one thing.
I'll say.
Chaos, it comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Seeing is those people that are held captive by him. Those that chose not to follow God. Those that are just bound. And they're falling, they're just being used like puppets to fulfill, you know, held captive by Satan to do his will is what Paul told Timothy. And so it's all connected. This thing is harmonizing. All these things are going on, are harmonizing, that Satan's doing things to create fear and havoc and all this kind of stuff. And that 11 Walmarts are evacuated because you just don't know. I mean, even right now, Homeland Security in Houston, mind you, has a training film right now. We're going to make that available, hopefully, on the Torch. Make sure we make that available. That they're training people how to run out of a building when a gunman comes in. And so the training film is he walks in, he starts shooting people with a shotgun. And this is our government's putting this out. You know why? Let me tell you why. Because the spirit that's got this present government is one that establishes fear in you.
Yeah.
And if they establish fear in you, you won't have faith. And you don't have faith, you can't please God. And God does nothing for a double-minded man or woman. So you're going to have to make up your mind. You got to be willing to overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony and fear not your life unto death. You got to find a place of no fear. You got to find a place of no fear. And then when it's all said and done, which could be an hour, a week, a month, a day, a year, 10 years, decade, whatever, when it's done, no matter when it ends, it ends well for you because you live that part of your life for God because you're going to see him the moment you leave this life. You know, and then we just want to be able to remember that. But yeah, it was in Missouri. Yeah, the Show Me State, and they were showing them, you know, bomb threats, and they tied the thing to one particular payphone, which I didn't even know they had.
When you said that, I'm like, do they still have those?
Yeah, right. It's like we had one payphone in America, and the hoodlum used it.
Exactly.
That was so funny. And so, but I do want, before we talk about the situation in the Mississippi Church down here, the day the scroll went berserk in the Mississippi Church, anyway, so. I want to talk about the top three stories on the VFN Torch. You got to see, if you have not seen the VFN Torch, you got to see it. Over 13, almost 14,000 of our readers and viewers and listeners are experiencing the VFN Torch. And you get to it at VFNTV.com and just click on the VFN Torch. But it's where we carry the story or the article that much further. We may be talking about something that's has a video that you're listening to, but you can see that on the Torch or our pictures or resources. And it's a way we can continue to connect, but also you can share it with somebody. You could just take the actual sharing link on that particular article, and you could share it with your friends, and you could share it around the world. You can paste it on your Facebook or something like that. But what is the top three? What is the top three? The number one story, still at the top, which is pretty interesting, top three, is buying the image of hard work.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Buying the image of hard work. Of course, this is where, you know, for those that haven't seen this yet, you got to go there. It's a story about our reality, which definitely compares to the first hour. And we're talking about, you know, here people are starving. We're getting paid 360% more.
Exactly.
People are living on a dollar a day. And we're spending $400 on a pair of brand new jeans that somebody cut up and scratched to look like the people who are actually wearing who earn a dollar a day. They could have just went down there and gave them the $400 and took their pants. That would have gave them half a year's income, right?
Oh, my gosh.
They would have more than happy. Dude, you want some worn out pants?
All right.
We got a whole bunch of these.
They're 100% authentic.
Yeah, matter of fact, you probably want to wash them. Anyway, so you got to see that story. And truly, Americans are paying $400 for a pair of jeans made to look like a pair of jeans they dug up in some backyard somewhere from, you know, 17, whatever, 18, 12. And they go, it's got like little bent marks in the back of the knee. This must mean that they rode a horse. Well, I think that since they didn't have any, like, you know, Buicks back then, they probably did ride a horse. Oh, my goodness. And then the second one, I'm still in the top three, praise God, is the church is an organism, not an organization. You know, awesome. And I want to encourage you, if those that are reading these stories, if you read that story, also search for original intent. Go to the VFN Torch, upper right-hand corner. You can type in any topic you want to and anything. But when you type in original intent, two things are going to come up. Stories and articles about the original intent of America and stories and articles about the original intent of the church. And you have the radio segment. It's right there. You can listen to it. And I encourage you to begin it. Obviously, you're interested in, you know, understanding the church as an organism versus an organization. Mm-hmm. And there's so many things that we're beginning to share, and we have shared. And just begin, listen to all of them. And it's going to encourage you because you can read the Bible, and it's like, it applies to my life. Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness. Like somebody once told us, he said, it was like me stepping out of the flower pot into Acts chapter 4. You know, you're like, you won't have to worry about, you know, I think I need to read my Bible. Oh, my goodness. You're running back to your Word of God going like, how do I handle this? Oh, my goodness. You know, these things are happening. They're, you know, and you're looking for instructions because the Bible is an operation manual. It's not a history book. You know, the book of Acts is how the church is supposed to act.
Right.
And so that's number two story. Number three is about the teen in Brooklyn, I believe it was.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's still up there, you know.
Lloyd Morgan, little four-year-old boy that was shot. I think I saw a follow-up story. They're even having some sort of fundraising for this poor four-year-old boy. But that's so tragic. I mean, it really, really is tragic.
Was it crossfire? Some kids were fighting with guns and.
Yeah, there was some sort of basketball tournament that was going on in Brooklyn, and after the basketball tournament.
Tournament.
Oh my gosh.
Is it tournament?
It's happening.
Is it tournament?
What's happening? What happened?
Is it a tournament or tournament?
Are you trying to say I'm talking different?
No, I just tournament.
Just, you know.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. You were talking about a tournament?
A tournament. But anyway, there was this basketball game. And at the end of the game, unfortunately,
very
a 17-year-old boy.
Yeah. 17.
It's a boy.
I know. He's a boy.
It's a boy. And he turned himself in.
Gun. He shot into a group of people or something. And the little small young four-year-old boy got hit and died.
Yep. Hit and died. And it's just tragic. So our prayers go out to this family and really to that community. Because it's amazing when you live in any place where there's gunfire, any place where like that, but especially in close quarters, like in a city and building. You know, so many times people, just great fear will start taking over an area in a community. You know, there's so many liberties that we take for granted. And you pull into your own driveway and your own house and you're okay. But when you live in an apartment building, where you have to go past all sorts of people that you don't,
five
you know.
Five floors.
Oh, my goodness. Five floors, no elevator, you know. And what can you do if you don't have the resources and you know, you got to live where you can live, you know. But what do you do when you're trying to bring your children and your family and you're going through these areas? And there are some really tough people out there. You know,
we're going to be speaking on, by God's grace, about evil.
Right.
You know, we've got to talk. We got to begin to talk about evil because Americans, we don't know what evil is. Mm. I mean, some Americans do. Some Americans have received it.
Because we think we watch it on TV that we actually experienced it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but when they're in that movie, though, in Aurora, you know, that when this gunman comes in, held captive by second heaven, this horrific thing, mm-hmm. that they didn't know whether that was the movie or that it was real. It took a while for them to dawn on them mm-hmm. that these are real people, real blood, real things, you mm-hmm. know, and that's how far, you know, that's how blessed we've been for so long. But every day, right now in Syria, you know, they're every day people are being brutalized in the world,
right?
You know, and it's just evil is present. You can't negotiate with it. Mm-hmm. You can't wish it away. You can't mm-hmm. politicize it away. Mm-hmm. And it's so evil, you know. And some people in America have experienced evil,
right?
But the majority of America has not experienced evil,
right?
And those that have been to war, what you talk to Steve over, you know, to Iraq and mm-hmm. you know, what was over there, how evil it was, and how mm-hmm. you know, we think waterboarding's bad,
right?
You know, and what they're doing in Syria right now to their own people,
it's horrific.
You know, it's horrific. Where you go to Africa, where they're literally cutting off arms and hands mm-hmm. in front of the family members,
right?
You know, when I think about the story about the machine gun preacher, you know, that when he went there on a mission trip and. And he saw these kids and these families being destroyed, and he had a compassion for, you know, for those kids, mm-hmm. and but he was biblically correct and standing up for them. It's just something else. But that's the top three. I do want to say real quick, like just name them. The fourth is maximizing your talents. You got to check that out. Another one is Joshua Lamb about how the Lord appeared to him and an angel appeared to him to be able to rescue him in a time of need. And Michael Bloomberg, he's up there with his air-conditioned vans and all that.
Is he?
sexuality in the church, it ain't over till God says it's over. Oh, wow, praise God. And I guess we talked about that a little bit earlier.
Yeah.
And how should Christians vote? That is, I know we're going to go past three, but I just wanted to share those couple things with you. Mm-hmm. And Tony Evans' his book, you know, How Should Christians Vote, is up there as well. We'll be right back in just a moment. You know, when we first started trying to articulate, you know, what God was doing with us, you know, we thought, you know, how do you explain God? I mean, how do you explain family? How do you because it's just kind of hard. The paradigm shift is so huge from going to church to being the church, you know, from that building being the temple of God to us being the temple of God, and then in families, really family. You know, Jesus said when his mother Mary was outside and his brother was outside knocking on the door because they thought he lost his mind because he was ministering actually in a house, and to his disciples, and they were coming to rescue him because he hadn't eaten. They were going to rescue God, John. They were going to rescue God. And that he hadn't eaten in a couple of days. And they just knew because that was their family. They thought, that's my family. That's my relative in there, so he'll actually come out. And so somebody tells Jesus, he says, you know, your mother and your brother's outside wanting to talk to you. And he goes, who is my mother? This is God speaking through his son, Jesus Christ, right? He said, who is my mother? Who is my brother? And today's church will say, the people knocking on the door?
Right.
But that's not what he said. He said this, he said, those who do the will of my Father, when he was looking at his disciples sitting in front of them. We've got to recapture again the understanding of the family of God, because the truth is that if we really love our family, we're going to share with them the gospel of Jesus Christ, because if they don't know Jesus Christ, they're not going to make it into the family of God and into eternity in heaven. And so we want them to be able to make it. But, you know, we try to come together, try to come out a way to explain that. We did that with the Vine seminars. You know, that we first had a Vine seminar to be able to explain us, to take us from these mindsets of realizing that we have an awesome King and God who loves us, and he wanted family, and to that we are the ark of God, and God's presence dwells with us, and it's just awesome thing of activation. And And it's an exciting thing. The Vine Seminar is about, you know, Vine Fellowship Network, but also it's just grown into other seminars as well. And so if you want to find out more about Vine Seminars, from marriage to personality, from, you know, what it's like just to be the church, you know, maybe you can glean from it. Go to vineseminars.org. It is so cool when you're reading the Bible, isn't it, Pat, when you find out when finally, finally, your life, your Christian walk lines up with what you're actually reading in your Christian Bible, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's so cool that when you actually have a source you can go to,
right,
because it fits your life and your life fits the Word. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, if you've been reading the Word of God and you've been reading as a history book, or you've been, somebody's told you that there's not any more miracles anymore, somebody's, you know, told you that that doesn't apply anymore, and they've replaced the Word of God with their traditions.
Mm.
Let me tell you something. You know, let every man be a liar and God be the truth. His Word is living and active and sharper than a double-edged sword. God has not changed. Men change.
That's right.
God hasn't changed. You know, if that's you, if you are presently not connected or related to a body of believers, or if you are at a place that you're, it just seems dead. It just seems dead. It's like your prayers hit the ceiling. Any conversations about going deeper in God, people don't know what you're talking about. When you're talking about, let's go do what the Bible says, and they say, no, let's just go see a movie instead. I mean, things like that. If that's where you, listen, you know, maybe Vine Fellowship Network's for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the thing about it is you have to understand that when you step out of, I remember one particular person said this.
Mm-hmm.
They said, when I stepped out of tradition, men's tradition,
right,
and I stepped to the VFN, it was like stepping right into the book of Acts chapter 4.
Right.
Remember that?
Yeah, I remember that.
Listen, but you have to understand, this is not something you stick your toes in. When you want to follow God, you don't put a toe in it and find out what temperature it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is, you know, walking with God. There's so many different men and women that are walking with the Lord that are in tune with what's going on. You know, George Barna writes in his book that people are leaving the traditional church not because they want to get away from God. It's because they're wanting to maintain their walk with God.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Think about it. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
But hey, I mean, you got to do what you got to do to stay close to God, because you stand alone before God.
Mm-hmm.
You stand alone before God. No witnesses and no suspects.
That's
you
right.
are there all by yourself. So you are accountable for you. And I want to encourage you, if that's you, if you're ready to dive into the things of God, to dive into the deep, and you're ready to say, I just want to believe God. I want the Word to be alive and living and active in my life. I no longer want it nullified, but I want it to be living and active in my life. Maybe VFN's for you. VFN stands for Vine Fellowship Network, a network of abiding churches who are rightly related, seeking to love God, love others, and lead others to do the same. Go to vfnfamily.org, vfnfamily.org. Well, you think about, you know, abiding. I mean, it's just, you know, talk to us, Steve. Talk to us about, you know, somebody out there, they're thinking about, oh, it's just so hard. You know, what do I do? I mean, what would you say to them?
It's just really simple. It's not hard. You're just being with Jesus. You're talking with him. You're reading his Word. And you're just listening.
Right.
You're talking to him. He's talking to you. And it really is that simple.
How rapidly did your growth in God happen once you started abiding with him?
It was amazing.
Isn't it?
God just started pouring out himself, because he just says, you seek me, and I'm going to seek you.
He says, you draw near to me.
Mm-hmm.
I will draw near to you. You can find out more about that at iabide.org. You know, everybody really wants to abide. They want to hang out with God, like John 15, Jesus tells us, but they just need a little simple plan to do that. You can find out at iabide.org. Just request your plan today. Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me in the studios is Pat Hamilton and John Ramos in the extra hour. We're going to be talking about now, as we move along in the extra hour is about how the Homeland Security,
mm-hmm,
is what they deny would actually be a reality.
Mm.
What they deny would be a reality,
mm-hmm,
that now they're preparing for.
Right.
They are preparing for riots to take place in the next 30 days in America. They're ordering lots, wow, of material over, to be able to prepare the police officers and all to be able to handle, you know, riots, mm-hmm, in the streets. Let's listen right now to this Fox News and report on what they're doing, and we'll be right back.
Breaking news from the road to the political conventions as we learn more about Homeland Security ordering up some serious riot gear, anticipating protests and possible riots at this summer's political conventions. Welcome to a brand new hour of America Live, everyone. I'm Megyn Kelly. It is always good to be prepared and ready, and the feds are not taking any chances when Republicans hold their nominating convention about a month from now in Tampa, Democrats a week later in Charlotte, less than a month away now. We are told that they are even gearing up for potential unrest at the presidential inauguration. Trace Gallagher has been investigating whether this is standard procedure or whether they know something we don't know. He joins us live now from our West Coast newsroom. Trace.
And the feds aren't just looking to buy more riot gear, Megyn. They are looking to buy more riot gear right now. I mean, they want this stuff fast-tracked. They gave the suppliers one day to make their bids, and the winning bid gets 15 days, and they want the stuff delivered. Take a look at the list here. This is what they're doing, 150 sets of riot gear. We're talking about riot helmets, upper body and shoulder protection, thigh, growing protection, shin guards, forearm protectors, tactical gloves. Now, authorities in Tampa, Florida and Charlotte, North Carolina are not giving specific numbers, but they are expecting massive numbers of demonstrators. DHS is not expecting violence. They are clearly preparing for significant domestic unrest. That's a quote, which means, of course, riots. The gear will be worn by the officers protecting the property and the buildings around the conventions. Now, they have set up.
So they're actually preparing for. They're preparing for the very thing that we have been prophesying and talking about what's going to be happening in the land. They're preparing for it to take place. You have to understand, when the adversary has power, not people, but when Satan has gripped a place of authority, when he has seduced it, he's taken it, and you know, men devour it and they want it,
right.
They don't want to get, they're not going to give it up unless they repent. I mean, they're going to fight for that.
Right.
And it's going to be this argument in our country is two different viewpoints.
Mm-hmm.
The argument is this, is do we want God or do we not want God?
Right.
Do we want to acknowledge him as God or not? Do we want to acknowledge that Jesus Christ is the only way to God or not? Do we want to acknowledge that God is the one that blessed this nation and mm-hmm. brought us up? Do we, the whole thing is
right.
that about who do we say God is and how do we respond right. to him? And the other side of the argument, you know, is how do I get away with what I want to do?
Mm-hmm.
You know, how can I get what I want? How can I have more? You know, how can I indulge in every sensual whatever thing that I want to do? How can I work less hours and have more fun? You know,
right.
all this different stuff. You know, and it's just about one's the way of the flesh and one's the way of the spirit. You
mm-hmm.
know, and that's the argument.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a war, there's a battle going on for those. They're going to stand up and say, we don't want, because they know, this is what people know. People that they know that is like kids that are in love with the world, but they have parents who are in love with God. They know there's going to be a conflict with that whole family situation because they know what daddy's going to say.
That's right.
You know, they know what, you know, what's going to take place. They know
mm-hmm.
that what mom's going to say when they don't even ask the question. They don't even ask the question.
Right.
You know, they already know, you know.
Right.
And so the world already knows if this country goes back to its knees and God, then mm-hmm. a lot of things that we have allowed now, we will do away with. We'll change those things, like Josiah did,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
like Jehoshaphat did, and like, you know, everybody that's realized it was wrong and kind of went back. And so for God to win is for Satan to lose,
right?
And for God to win is for the whole people to be blessed. And the only mm-hmm. one that would fear that would be the people who did wrong. You know,
who didn't want to go God's way.
He didn't want to go God's way. And so that's the battle. The battle is between good and evil, and the church needs to get on the side of good. So these riots are preparing for the riots of the streets. Deutermeyer Dudeman saw these riots. You know, he talked about them sometime back prophetically. It's just unrest. And I know that Senator Marco Rubio, when he was talking to, I think, CPAC, he specifically said, we already know that what's in Greece is coming our way.
Wow.
We already know that. And so what's happening in Greece is that, that the government was unable to provide the resources that the people were told they can get. And so then they come against the government. And so all of a sudden you have people fighting for something, a smaller and smaller pot of money. And then even the president's right-hand man, President Obama's right-hand man, and I think he runs his campaign as well, Axelrod.
Right.
I mean, he said on CNN on a Sunday morning, he said, we already know that there's something to the, he describes a dark cloud, this European dark economic cloud is coming to America. We know this is coming. David Wilkerson talks about,
New York being on fire.
Yeah, New York being on fire. But he also talks about the domino effect of the economies. And what kicks it off is when the economy starts. It's the money, stupid. You know, it's the money. Oh, yeah. You know, where a man's money is, treasure is, that's where his heart is also. So when you start seeing a man's treasure fall, when you start seeing his God fall, you know, then they got to make up a decision, you know, what they're going to do. And so the dominoes, you're looking at the European nations right now that are, they start clicking over like that. And so here we are. All of a sudden, you're going to have unions go in the streets, and they're going to start demanding. I mean, somebody's already getting paid more than 360% of the world.
Right.
They're probably getting paid 1,000% more, you know, are going to hit the streets because they feel like they deserve more, and they don't want to lose what they're getting, while somebody else is going to go to the streets, you know, and say, you know, we think we need health care. And somebody else is going to the street and say, we need food. But you put that all together, you know, it's a riot.
Right.
You know, it's a riot. In the church, we should actually look up and say, God, you know, we've sinned.
That's right.
Help us get back and get an understanding how to respond. I mean, you even think about it. The riots have already started, but they're so organized. They're so organized that people don't even realize they're happening. It just happened in Chicago yesterday, I believe it was. This week at least. They call them flash mobs.
Right.
But let me tell you the definition of a riot, just so you actually know what a definition is. So when you hear riot, it says a noise, a violent public disorder caused by a group or a crowd of persons, as by a crowd protesting against another group or a government policy in the streets. So you think about it, that when these flash mobs are going in, you know, 20s, 100s, just marching the store, they're stealing things and taking things, and they're walking out of the store, you know, that you just experienced a riot. They renamed the riot, called it flash mobs.
Right.
As a matter of fact, they're doing it in a way that they're making it like popular. Like, let's just go do a flash mob and sing a song in the malls. Like, you know, that's kind of, you know, it's being used two different ways.
Right.
And so they did a flash mob. We have this on the VFN Torch. You can see it. You just type in flash mob and go VFN Torch. You get to it at VFNTV.com and just type in flash mob at Walmart in Jacksonville. There it is. And they just had it in Chicago, where this particular man had a jeans store. And they started coming into the store, you know, maybe 24 or some showed in the store, but he locks his doors before they come in, before they all come in. So he has 24 in, but he has more out.
Wow.
And here he is vulnerable, you know, he's powerless, he feels like, and these people are just taking these jeans, and we know jeans sell for $400.
Right.
The article that we did on jeans, you know, even if they look bad, they can sell $400. And they're taking his best jeans in front of him and stuffing them in their book bags or their backpacks and stuff.
Right.
And then they kick the door down
to
get out. These are called riots. The Watts riots. These different riots where people kick the doors down the stores and take the stuff. It's called a riot. We don't call them riots anymore. We call them flash mobs.
Right.
You know, flash mobs. We riot quickly and get out.
Wow.
You know, and it's like if they kill you slowly or kill you softly or kill you fast or kill you slow, you're still dead in the end.
Yeah.
That's right.
If they rob you fast or rob you slow, you know, you're still robbed in the end. If they break your door down fast in an organized way, or they do it in a chaotic way, your door's still broken down. It's a riot. It's a definition of a riot. But now they're preparing for the next level of that, where people are putting films out where they're throwing Molotov cocktails, which is a bottle full of fuel with a rag in it. I mean, imagine Adam. Imagine Adam, you know, your brother, you know, out there on the streets defending his community. And he's standing up for the community, but somebody because of their rebellion and because they're coming against, and the authorities have nothing to do with that. They're just police officers. Then they light a rag on fire that has fuel in it, this bottle, and they throw it towards Adam.
It's awful.
How in the world? I mean, why? He doesn't deserve, you know what I'm saying? That we have to wake up. We have to understand this is not going to be good.
Right.
And the key to, we got to understand, if we don't turn to God, they're the reason why this nation's being humbled. Let me tell you why the nation's being humbled. You know, I believe it's being humbled because we turned our backs on God and his ways. Mm. We haven't turned his back on his name.
Right.
We turned his back on his ways and taking his name down from the public square and failing to acknowledge him and worshiping things instead of him and all these different things. And so now we're seeing mall owners tell this man on his, he had like a little small toy train that he rode around the mall area. And it's for the veterans and the police officers and the firefighters to honor them. And kids would get on it and he'd drive them around a little small circle, this train. And it had an American flag on the front of it.
Right.
And so the mall management tells this man that is inappropriate visible material for the mall. The flag!
The American flag.
The flag!
The American flag.
The American flag.
In the United States of America.
You know why? Because it affected their pocketbook. There was people there who were in America who probably swore to uphold the Constitution like you have to do. And now they're actually telling them, I don't want to see the flag.
Wow.
I don't want to see the flag. You know, and it's like, oh my goodness. You know, are you really? And the whole, you know, people begin to bombard this mall by going like, I don't think so. But they changed their ways. But the whole thing is, if we take down the cross, do you think that we're not going to take, God's not going to take down this nation? If we pull down his name, you don't think he's going to pull down our name? Right. If we deny his sovereignty, you don't think he's going to deny our sovereignty?
Right.
That's right.
Listen, you don't get to keep one without the other. The blessing comes with God, not without God. You can't seek them both. And we're about to lose it.
Wow.
We're about to lose. I encourage you, though, you know, it's not over till God says it's over. You got to watch that on VFN TV. You got to watch that because it's going to encourage you to do what's right and before God. And despite what everybody else does, you know, God will keep you and bless you and direct you right there. Well, you know, here we are. We are faced with what's taking place in a church gathering in Mississippi. I don't know if you heard about that. And it's a First Baptist Church in Crystal Springs. And a couple, Charles and Tiandre Wilson, a black couple, wanted to get married in a church that they attended regularly, but they weren't a member of it. You know, you know, because we believe that, you know, you either are the church or you're not the church. You can't join the church by joining, signing your name on a roster, or doing a membership card, but you can recognize the church. You can recognize that somebody is in the body of Christ. You can recognize if they're a believer or not.
Right.
And if they are, then you just relate accordingly. They're a brother and sister in the Lord.
I mean,
you just accept those who God's accepted. But either way, here they are. They're attending this church off and on, I guess, and the pastor's working with them and to get married, I guess, as premarital counseling, I guess.
Sure.
And all of a sudden, he's going to marry them in the church they're attending.
All right.
You know, the building they're attending. And somebody in the building tells them, if you marry this black couple in this church, we're going to fire you.
What?
Oh, my goodness.
I'm like, my goodness. What have you created that the Satan can hold somebody like that and they could be in your midst and they were there that long?
Exactly.
When that man that was held, whoever that man or woman was in your presence that long, were held that captive by that kind of demon spirit, and you didn't even know it, and you fellowshiped with that spirit,
right.
and then all of a sudden you gave into it. You gave into it when this black couple, Christian brother and sister in the Lord, you was going to get married in their church, their regular attending that you're counseling. And then this is what they did. They actually take them. They says, listen, to appease the people who was complaining. I am just shocked. I am devastated for this couple. But you know what? We need to know this. We need to know it. We need to know it. And we need to say this is wrong, right? We need to stand up. We need to speak up, right? We need to speak up. And so he said, listen, I'll marry you in a church, a building up the street. I'm like, oh my goodness.
Oh my goodness.
Remember, listen to this report. Listen, I'll be right back. Listen up.
Good evening. It was to be their big day, but a Jackson couple says a church in which they were planning to wed turned them away because of race.
Well, now the couple wants answers, and the church pastor is questioning the mindset of some of the members of his congregation who caused the problem in the first place. David Kenny has our top story.
They had set the date, printed up, and mailed out all the invitations, but the day before wedding bells were to ring for Charles and Tiandria, they say they got some bad news from the pastor.
Congregation had decided that no black couple could be married at their church.
Hold on a minute. You understand what he just said? This is Charles talking. The congregation had decided. This dude's like, oh my goodness. The congregation has decided there would be no black couples married at the church. This is listen here.
Could be married at their church. And then if he went on to have to marry us, then they would vote him out and he would be put out of the church.
Listen, we have got to stand up. You should have said, hello, I don't want to even be here. If you guys are not going to follow God, I don't even belong here. I need to, I'm a shepherd of God's sheep, not of Satan's wolves.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
That's a wolf. You know? Exactly. That's crazy. Oh my goodness.
That's horrific.
Are you serious? It's like, oh my goodness. And this couple is so calm about it.
I know.
Yeah, they're so calm about it. And these are ones that they sat beside and which is not, you know, it's not, we got to face this reality. You know, we've been talking about, let's just finish listening to Charles.
They would vote him out and he would be put out of church.
The Wilsons were trying to get married at the predominantly white First Baptist Church of Crystal Springs, a church they attend regularly but are not members of.
We couldn't have the wedding at the church. He had people in the sanctuary that was pitching a fit about us being a black couple. I mean, I didn't like it at all because I wasn't brought up to be racist.
And I'm just like, Tiandra, he's like, what meanest thou this? Are you serious?
Exactly. Right.
How long has this demon been sitting around here that you're gonna tolerate this thing? You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
She's just shocked.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it crazy? Listen up.
I was brought up in the church all my life to love and care for everybody.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Church pastor Dr. Stan Weatherford says he was taken by surprise by what he calls a small minority against the black marriage at the church.
This was had never been done here before, so it was setting a new precedence.
It has never
been
done. Amazing.
What really? Have we done? What have
really?
We done? You know, it's so important. This is really important. If all you've been doing is hanging out with you and your few, you're gonna have to get out about a little bit. It's the world
That's
is
right.
broader than you. It's broader than your thought, it's broader than your ethnicity, it's broader than your gender. It's broader than your economy. It's broader than your nation. I mean, that is, you know, that's like, oh my goodness. That was somebody that got some serious Mississippi tunnel vision. You know, from 17, whatever. Listen up.
And there were those who reacted to that.
Of course, if somebody reacted to that. And this is the pastor talking there.
Because of that.
Weatherford went on and performed the wedding at a nearby church.
But I didn't want.
Did you hear that?
Wow.
Oh my gosh. Gave into it.
With what he would have lost was his job.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? What an honor. What an honor to be thrown out of a city because you were honoring God.
That's right.
You know, I don't know if this couple was a Christian or not or what's going on, but there were regular attenders there. It's a Baptist church. And,
he
was counseling. He was counseling and all that. And it's like, you know, what an honor that would have been. What a badge of honor to be thrown out of your church because you said, you get out of this church.
Wow.
I don't even know why you're even here.
And
said that to the ones that are carrying on because the church is people. It's not a building. You could have been in a coffee shop and that encounter could have happened. It would have been easy to deal with in a coffee shop because the fact is you would say it's you, not the building. But now we defined it as a building. It's kind of hard. How do you get the virus? How do you get the mold out the walls, right?
Right.
So let's listen up. This is not. This is more.
Wedding at a nearby church.
But I didn't want to have that.
Weatherford went on and performed the wedding at a nearby church.
But I didn't want to have a controversy within the church, and I certainly didn't want a controversy to affect the wedding of Charles and Tiandria. I wanted to make sure that their wedding day was a special day.
After months of planning, the newlyweds say they had no choice but to go through with the wedding at the new location, but they still can't understand why a church would ban their wedding because of race.
I blame First Baptist Church of Crystal Springs. I blame those members who knew and called themselves being Christians and didn't stand up.
Church officials say they welcome any race into their congregation. They now plan to hold internal meetings on how to move forward should this situation reoccur.
I was prepared to just go ahead and do the wedding here, just like it was planned and just like we had agreed to. I was just looking for an opportunity, an option to be able to address a need within our congregation and at the same time minister to them.
In Crystal Springs, David Kenny, WLBT News.
Well, you think about it. You know, this is a simple resolution.
Right.
You look at what God says.
Exactly.
And you do it.
Mm-hmm. It's not hard, is it?
It's not that complicated. And the thing is that stuff doesn't just happen. You know, and we have to discern those things that are amongst us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I mean, my heart just breaks for Charles and T'Andre. I mean, the devastation they must have felt.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You know, and it makes me think of Derek. You know, it makes me think of Derek. You know, and this is the whole. This is where we're going with it. Is the fact is that kind of expression that you can sit as strangers, that somebody can hit you personally while you're sitting on a pew next to them,
mm-hmm.
and act like they love you until it comes time to doing Christ-like things with you.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You know, unless you eat on my plate and you drink from my glasses, you know, I don't trust you yet.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like,
exactly.
I'm gonna fix you up a little something. You just watch him. You just watch him. It's like, I'll see. I want to see what's up. And that, you know, you eat together. When you eat people's food together, it's part of knowing them and all that, and spending time with them. But just showing up once a week or twice a week, if you're really a dedicated, building expression person, that you can, you can be that way out of the middle of nowhere because you didn't have to depend on each other. You're just not getting to know each other.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And when Jesus is looking you square in the face, you're calling him Satan.
Mm-hmm.
They were in the building. It was the Pharisees and the Sadducees had it all figured out, and they looked and they said, this can't be God because he's in the streets despite everything that's going on. And so they looked at Jesus square in the face and they called him Beelzebub. They called him Satan. And he says, whatever you do to the least of these of mine, you've done it unto me. And I'm thinking about, you know, Derek, you know, you got to go back and hear about Derek's situation. You see it on the VFN Torch. Go to VFNTV.com. But he was in the parking lot praying in the parking lot. It's not funny, but it's so funny. It's not funny at all. I mean, you know.
Right.
And he's been sitting by this lady. He's a black guy. She's a white woman.
Mm-hmm.
And they both go to the same building, and they both sat by each other maybe 10 inches apart for 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And Derek's like, what, 6'4"?
Four.
Yeah. 180 pounds.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
No, in excess of 200 pounds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's a large, and he's just a kind young man.
With a big smile.
Oh, he's a beautiful man. I mean, he really is. I just love Derek. And so he's somebody you would just recognize. He said, we worshiped the same Jesus. We sang the same songs. We raised our hands together. We heard the same messages. We even fell under the power of God on the same carpet beside each other. He said, but you can find Derek, actually Derek telling this on the Torch, the VFN Torch. So he's in the parking lot praying, and he's pacing back and forth, or just in the parking lot praying. I don't know if he's pacing back and forth or not. But so this lady who sat beside him for 5 years calls the police and says, there's a black male in our parking lot peeking in the car windows. I'm like,
Oh my goodness,
you didn't. As a matter of fact, we got to pull that up. See if you can pull that up. So while we're on here, but that's exactly what happens. They call the police on Derek, you know, and Derek is so kind, just like this couple. I just so admire people of color that are Christians, that how they put up with so much junk sometimes, and they're so merciful and so willing to forgive, and
Christ-like,
very Christ-like, you know. Mm-hmm. Rick Joyner says that because of the oppression of the African American in America, that God would bring a major move of God through the African American people, and I can see why. So they call the police on Derek, and the police officer comes out, and luckily, you know, by God's grace, the police officer was encountered Derek and us when we were in the wilderness, one of the Next Step Father Son camping trips, and he knew Derek instantly. Where she didn't know him after 5 years of sitting together, this officer that has seen him once, that has seen him once.
Right. At the camping trip and had activities with him the whole entire time.
Right, right.
He recognized him and knew him in that one encounter. And she's been with him 5 years, worshiping, and didn't even know, sitting in the same pew, and didn't even know.
Exactly, exactly. And so, you know, with that, you know, so anyway, the police officer, you know, he said he can't believe it. And he has to tell her for 5 years he sat beside her. And she called the police on him.
Mm-hmm.
And that God's revealing something here.
Mm-hmm.
And because this couple wanted to get married in the church they were attending, you know, on a here and there basis, I guess. That and you know, it's a small little church. I mean, it's just not a little building, it's not like some you
right.
know. And they said that we weren't gonna marry you? Oh my goodness. You know, this spirit we gotta deal. This is called a racist spirit. This mm-hmm. is a spirit that is wrong, you know.
That's right.
It's evil, and it's going to divide the body of Christ. If any time right now we need to gather around Jesus mm-hmm. and accept all the fullness of the body of Christ. As a matter of fact, you had a couple encounters. I remember, John, yourself in a traditional situation. What was that?
I did. You know, I ushered for several years at a traditional church that I was at, and we had these blue blazers, so we were able to be, you know, you stick out, you know. And one night, I didn't happen to have my blazer on, and I'm trying to walk into the building, into the church building there, mm-hmm. and the usher didn't even recognize me. Mm-hmm. He didn't want to let me into the church building. So I'm standing stupefied in the front door thinking,
right.
I called him by name. Uh-huh. You know, I don't want to call him by name now, but I called him by name and says, hey, you know, hello, don't you remember me?
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Almost embarrassing.
Yeah.
And he just made these kind of excuses where I just couldn't get in. I'm thinking, you've got to be kidding me.
Right.
You got to be kidding me. And right. so I just walked off. But it's just sad.
Yeah.
It's just sad. I mean, it's one, if you don't know God, right? But if you're claiming to know God and you're listening, right? That's what we need to hear and do, not hear. Right. We
right.
need to hear God's word mm-hmm. and apply it to our lives.
Mm-hmm.
But that was wrong. And that's been happening for a while. But like you just said earlier, you know, this morning, we need to speak up. We
yeah.
need to speak up
for
and address
yeah, exactly.
these real, real concerns and real tragedy. And when we do that, oftentimes it's going to bring healing.
Yeah. And that when somebody confronts it and says that it's wrong, that people very well may say, well, nobody ever really told me it was wrong.
Mm-hmm. True.
So somebody told me that you can be a Christian, but you still can hate your brother.
Right.
And then you show them that if you don't love your brother and you say you love God, you're a liar.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And then they may choose to say, I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
And how many people do we talk to that say, I never knew that?
That's true.
Right.
I never knew that. They've been, you know, been gathering with some
sure.
traditional expression for 10, 20 years.
Yeah.
Or that stronghold's never been challenged or never been addressed.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, yeah.
Well, so many things. I mean, so many things about God. That's just one thing.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a serious indictment, you know, that racism in the world's one thing. That's the world. The world's going to have all these kind of issues.
Right.
But in the church, you know, Jesus is not white, first of all.
Right.
You know, you have to understand that. And the body of Christ is made up of all of us. You know, all the different, he says in Revelations, he talks about all the nations,
mm-hmm.
you know, every tribe, every tongue.
Every tongue.
Every tongue, mm-hmm. every nation is gathered around him. And so all of us are together.
Right.
And we have to understand that it's e pluribus unum for the church. Though we're
right.
many, we're one. And it's bigger than you. It's bigger than your Mississippi town, you know.
Yeah. And if God allows you by his grace. But, you know, with unrepentant stronghold, you'll be surprised who you're sitting next to in the great banquet. You'll be
he's
surprised.
That's right.
And that marriage
right.
of the Lamb, who you'll be sitting with. So we need to work this out right here, you know, while we have some time left and on our knees with God and getting our heart right,
mm-hmm.
getting our heart right.
Well, my concern is this. If Jesus said, if John's writing in First John, he says, you know, if you say that you love me, and you don't love your brother, you're a liar.
That's right.
You know, faith without works is dead. Can dead faith save you? Can lying love save you?
Right. That's like English. Isn't that plain?
Yeah, well, that's the whole thing is that you got to get this right. You got to get this right And the article in The Torch, just so you can hear Derek tell it himself, is racism in the traditional church still? It's a question. Is it still in the traditional church? And it's the world. It's of the world, and we don't bring that into the church.
Mm-hmm.
But that was the big thing about the black pastor in Louisiana that became over the Southern Baptist Coalition. Or,
sure.
Because I believe that was originally founded because of racism. Mm-hmm. That was a wing of the Baptist church that said we want to go the way of slavery. And now it has an African-American leader president over it, which is very significant.
Sure.
And that just happened. If that just happened.
That's wild.
It's over 100 years, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Something like 100 years.
Yeah, and it's time to root out, you know, racism. And we can't get together. And listen, when we start loving each other, we can begin to hang out together. And we don't have to just act like we're friends. We can be friends and be brothers in the Lord and sisters in the Lord. We're going to need each other. Times are about to get rough.
That's right.
And you're going to need to know who's God's and who's not God's. You're going to need to know who's your brother and who's not. You know, if they're going to lower you out a window in a basket, you want to make sure who's holding the rope. Yeah. Somebody, you know what I'm saying? Because I know that couple would not let anybody in that church lower them out like Paul was being lowered out of a basket.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure I wouldn't. If I was them, I wouldn't trust anybody to hold that rope.
I know that's right.
You know what I'm saying?
What was it? Remember what Dr. King said? And this was back in the 60s. The most divided. I don't know if I have the right quote, but the most divided hour in the country is supposedly that Sunday morning
at 11 o'clock. It's something like that.
11 o'clock, and it's like, wow. You know, are we still? That was said in the 60s. Are we still talking about this?
Right. And so you have two things going on. We're coming to the end of the extra hours. One is you have the generation like Tiandre that you know, I can relate to, that says, what are you even, really, you're just ignorant. And then you have the other aspect of that. This is real. And we can't wink at it. We have to understand this is evil. That's somebody hating on Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, somebody rejecting somebody based off their epidermis, their skin ethnicity. It's like, come on, dude.
I mean,
you just revealed the fact of how many brain cells you don't have. Isn't it funny, though, how the ones that do feel that way, you start thinking, like, you don't even have an IQ. I don't understand. why would you even think that way? You know, but they do. It's a spiritual stronghold. That's what you wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness. We need to lift up Charles and Tiandre and this pastor, you know, and that he would just get courage to do what's right, to stand up. Now, the world is going to watch him. And he's going to have to make a decision to say, I was wrong, that I chose to follow these people instead of follow God, and repent publicly, and God can honor that, and start new with Charles and Tiandre. That'd be a beautiful story. So you need to pray for him, lift them up, and we need to pay attention and not take lightly what was just been revealed to us as being revealed. You know, this racism, spirit of racism in the church. Well, God bless. We're coming to the end of the extra hour. What a fast 2 hours. God bless you. Have a wonderful day. Don't forget about the 24/7 loop that'll begin in a few moments after the extra hour. I want to be able to also welcome a new artist, Covenant 31. I think it's Covenant 31.
Yeah.
You'll be hearing right at the close of this. We're excited about having them on VFN Radio. If you want to find out more, go to VFNTV.com. We're excited about our phone applications and things that are coming out. God bless, and we will see you tomorrow. VFN Radio.